welcome to episode 30 of Investigating the Post Office Scandal. My name is Rebecca Thompson and I wrote the first investigation into the Post Office Horizon IT scandal for Computer Weekly in 2009. My co-host Nick Wallace has been up to the Department for Business and Trade in London to meet the new-ish Post Office Minister Kevin Holland-Rake, who has today, which is Thursday the 23rd of March, formally launched the Group Litigation Compensation Scheme. This is a scheme for 492 of the 555 postmasters who took the post office to the High Court. The remaining 63 sub-postmasters of that group were prosecuted, which means that they can apply for compensation through the overturned historical conviction scheme. During the interview, Nick makes reference to Alan Bates without explaining who he is. In case you don't know him, Alan Bates is the founder of the Justice for Sub-Postmasters Alliance. He led the Bates versus Post Office group litigation and has campaigned since the litigation was settled to claim proper compensation for everyone involved. Nick started by asking Kevin Holland-Rake to explain how the GLO compensation scheme will work.
Well, they'll be getting back to the place they would have been had they not suffered detriment. I think that's the position we want to get to. That's the case in general law. So people should be restored to their previous financial situation. These are people who did a very brave move and determined move to take this matter to court in the first place. And they got a significant settlement in court, but most of that, about 70% of the settlement of the £58 million, was paid out in legal fees. So the postmasters themselves got very little compensation, which clearly isn't fair. So very keen to make sure they get put back in a situation where they receive fair compensation for the detriment. Clearly, this has been a terrible episode for the post office and for all connected with the issue. So we're very keen to make sure these people get justice and get restored to their previous financial position.
One of the things I've noticed about this scheme is it throws into sharp relief the other schemes run by the post office. I happened to bump into the chief executive of the post office walking through the corridor just a few moments ago. What conversations are you having with him about the other schemes? Because there's been a huge amount of criticism, particularly of the HSS scheme.
Yes, and we discussed this matter with the chief executive shortly earlier today, which is why you saw him here today. So we're very keen to make sure that these schemes are fair across the board. There have been some legitimate criticisms about things like the tax treatment of compensation payments, which you've written about, and also people who've suffered bankruptcy, making sure they receive fair compensation. We're determined that will happen. I think there were some unintended consequences of how those payments were made, a lump sum in a single year, some people triggering higher rate of tax, which clearly was not what we want to see.
Are you not going to remove the tax burden on any of the compensation payments for the HSS then?
We are certainly going to deal with this, and we're working now with HMRC and Treasury to make sure we get to a fair place where everyone gets treated equally across the schemes in terms of tax treatment.
Why has it taken so long?
It's a fair point. I mean, obviously there was deceit and denial for a long time. I think that's the first thing to say about this. This has happened over a 20-year period. So clearly that's wrong, for starters. When you come to when obviously the court judgment then resulted in the compensation scheme's been brought forward, you've got to make sure it's done right. And I think lots of different people, including yourself, have views on how it should be done. We're listening to those views and making sure the schemes are built in an appropriate way that does deal with this once and for all. The last thing, and as a backbencher in Parliament, I dealt with lots of other compensation schemes that weren't fit for purpose, and they were done in a hurry or done in a way that did not have proper oversight and scrutiny. We want to make sure that doesn't happen in this case. The settlements are fair and they're full and final and they're done absolutely right so everybody can move on from this, particularly the people who have suffered the detriment, of course. So it was bound to take time. We're very keen this compensation gets paid very quickly. We deal with all claims by August of next year, hopefully much more quickly than that. There's some basic principles around this scheme that should allow those payments to be made more quickly. We've got an advisory board consisting of some key campaigners on this. Kevin Jones, my colleague's MP for North Durham, who's been a very consistent and outspoken campaigner on the post office. James Abuthnot, Lord Abuthnot as well. Chris Hodges, Professor Chris Hodges, who's an arbitration expert, and Professor Moorhead, who's been, you'll know, has written extensively about these kind of issues. So we're keen to see that the scrutiny of the schemes is bang on so that people do feel comfortable that they've got the right amount of compensation for that detriment.
I know you've been speaking to Alan Bates in the run-up to the announcement of this scheme. Does it have his full backing and endorsement?
Well, I'm sure Alan will take a watching brief about what happens. Certainly, if he has any concerns, he should bring those to us. We have not heard any direct concerns he has right now, but I think the proof of the pudding is always in the tasting, so we've got to make sure the scheme, when it's rolled out, people feel they've got fair compensation. But as I say, there is scrutiny at various different levels in making sure this scheme pays fair amounts. We're absolutely committed to doing that, and as my predecessor have been too. So, but you know, we'll be watching this process very carefully, as others will, including Alan, who should pay tribute to Alan for his tremendous campaigning on this, and people like yourself, Nick. You know, the fact that media scrutiny around this was absolutely critical, as always in these cases, and other parliamentarians and many others who have been instrumental in getting to this point in time where we can actually deliver a compensation scheme.
You've got a hard stop on this in August next year, and the lawyers have already said on the record they are very concerned that they will not be able to get the cases resolved before August next year, which is when the special powers that were put in place to actually make this GLO compensation scheme happen essentially run out. How confident are you that you are going to be able to get through the 400 plus compensation cases for this particular scheme before you cannot give them any money?
Well, we are confident we can do that. We've got a principle-based scheme, so it should be easier to roll out than some of the previous schemes where there were some lessons learnt from that in how those were set up. So we're confident we can do that. But it's, as I said before, what's most important is we get this right. So if there's any issue about the scheme overrunning, we need to look at that very carefully. We don't always want to get people moved through the system on the basis it's good for us or it meets an arbitrary deadline. We've got to make sure people are properly compensated. So we'll be looking at this every step of the way.
As I said before, this scheme seems to throw into sharp relief the other compensation schemes run by the Post Office. Do you think the historical shortfall scheme is fit for purpose?
Yes, I do. But we've got to make sure people feel that too. You know, we're looking at the tax treatment, as I say, or the way that bankruptcy cases are dealt with to make sure they are fair. But yes, it's our belief, that's right, 96% of cases have had offers made to them. I think 83% of cases have accepted those offers. So it seems to indicate it is fit for purpose, it is working, and people are getting the right amounts of compensation. One thing I'm very keen to, perception is reality, of course, and I'm very keen to make sure people feel they have been fairly treated. I know there's very little trust between some of the victims and the Post Office, for example, or even government at this point in time. We've got this independent oversight board, the advisory board for the GLO, the Group Litigation Order scheme. I'm keen, they've requested that they look at the other schemes as well, and I'm keen that we'll let them do that.
Because, I mean, you would have heard about Francis Duff in the Daily Mail, Tom Witherow's piece about the gentleman who received £330,000 compensation and was left with £8,000. I spoke to a gentleman who's still fighting on behalf of his 70-year-old father. He's in the HSS as well. Still hasn't had an offer because he's a complex case. But this is more than 2 years after the scheme closed. I mean, you maybe have produced an exemplar of what a good scheme should look like. Why can't you bring on the other? Why can't you take over the other schemes, given that you are the shareholder of the Post Office?
Well, you refer to some of the complexities around this, and however you run the scheme, these are subject to legal requirements and various legal complications, and some of the schemes, some of the people themselves have complex situations. But certainly we are very keen to make sure people have suffered detriment and indeed have bankruptcy-related problems do get fair compensation. I think it's important that people who have bankruptcy-related losses do bring that forward as part of their claim, and I think that hasn't always been the case. I can't comment on individual cases, but that is something that we're trying to make sure. And where we hear about these cases, and I pay tribute to Tom Witherow as well for his campaigning on this, where we hear those cases, we reach out to people because we don't want to hear about those cases. We all want to make sure those cases are fairly settled. So we will certainly reach out to people we feel have not been fairly compensated for whatever reason. But as I say, the way the scheme is designed, it does take account of bankruptcy-related losses. For example, if somebody lost their home through this, they should get compensated for the loss of that home. So But I can't comment on individual cases. There is a scheme to work, that the scheme should deal with those cases.
In general terms, though, where we are talking about bankruptcy, what if the bankruptcy trustees want to take the lion's share of what the compensation is in this GLO scheme? Are you going to ensure that individual sub-postmasters get back what they lost?
Absolutely. That is exactly the principles behind the scheme.
Plus the damages for all the hurt and suffering that they've been through over the last decade or so.
Distress, the inconvenience, they refer to as non-pecuniary elements of the claim, and that's an essential part of this too.
And it's not going to be taxed?
The way the tax treatment works has to be consistent across the schemes, and it's the principles of the scheme that people put back into the place they were before the detriment happened. So the way that we're dealing with this in terms of tax is complicated. I say HMRC ever saying this, and as do the Treasury, so we're keen to get people back to that place that they're treated fairly and compensated, put back into the place they would have been.
And will you pay for the tax advice and legal advice for the individual claimants? Because one of the criticisms of the HSS was that people weren't aware that they could claim for legal advice, and when they did, they weren't entirely sure how much advice they could get if they could find the right people to help them.
Well, we're not aware of any cases where people have had legal costs refused, and there were legal costs made available. Not everybody took the opportunity to claim on those legal costs. So again, I think the important thing is people feel that the compensation claims have been fairly heard, and the compensation claims at a fair level have been made. So I'm not aware of any evidence where that hasn't happened, but clearly, so we've learnt about making sure people have clear advice in terms of legal representation, for example, and we've done this on a tariff-based approach now for the GLO. So we think that's in the right place. We've got to make sure everybody in every scheme was properly compensated. As far as we're aware, that is the case, but where there is evidence of any kind of any cases where that hasn't happened, we want to know about it and we'll deal with it.
On a wider point, you talked about the deceit and denial that had been going on for years, and that stopped people, deserving people, from getting the justice that they needed. Do you think we have a problem in this country, because you've been a critic of compensation schemes in the past, for recognising when something has gone wrong, doing something about it, and actually helping the people who've suffered as a result? This has gone on for years, and you look at other scandals, the infected blood scandal, of course, is another example of it. Do you think something needs to change now about the way that powerful bodies, the government, people in authority, government-owned companies, accept when things go wrong, they need to seize the nettle and actually do something about it, rather than hide behind lawyers, who are the only people who've made any money out of this scandal over the last 20 years, and actually do something in the way that finally the government and finally the post office seems to want to do now?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many lessons to learn from this and other situations, other scandals that I've dealt with a lot in the banking side of you know, this kind of mistreatment of customers, for example. So I think there's lots of we need to learn. There's an inquiry going on now. So Wynne Williams, of course, is carrying out this very in-depth inquiry, which will take another 2 or 3 years to report. But absolutely, we should learn the lessons from that and put whatever ever measures in place we need to make sure that people are held to account more easily. I think we should be proud of our system in that we have the free press, which clearly that was a critical part of this, and parliamentarians were able to speak up and have done. So that led to this.
It still seems to take so long, doesn't it? So what's your message then to government and to organisations who, when the next scandal comes up, what should be happening?
People should be held to account.
Which still hasn't happened in this case.
It hasn't happened, but you would accept the fact we work on a system of justice where people are innocent to proven guilty, so we need to have a proper inquiry, the evidence needs to be looked at, and anybody who is responsible, we can identify responsibility, wherever possible, those people should be held to account. I think that's the number one deterrent. If people know that if they mistreat people in these kind of serious ways, they will suffer the consequences. That's the number one way we can stop this happening in the future.
Would you support and do you support a duty of candour law that would make people who might be sitting on very important information give that information up readily?
That's an interesting point. Not one that I've had to consider before, but very keen to look at anything we can do to make the system operate more effectively and to make sure the public has confidence in the system. I can understand that people look at some of these systems, look at what's happened and think, you know, there's so much that we can do that we need to fix. I think generally corporations act appropriately. I think most people are decent in organisations, but when things go wrong, I think it has been the case in various different situations I've seen where people have not done the right thing. So if there's some legislation that can improve the likelihood of that happening, I think we should look at it. But as I say, these are the exceptions rather than the rule. And I said the number one thing I would like to see is people being held to account for wrongdoing.
That was Kevin Hollenrake. As well as the announcement on the GLO scheme, the Post Office Horizon IT Inquiry has published some legal advice today that it has received about the postmasters who were made bankrupt. Former postmaster Lee Castleton was declared bankrupt after the post office took him to court over discrepancies at his branch. He qualifies for the new scheme, which was announced today, exactly 19 years to the day that he was suspended from his branch in Marine Drive in Bridlington, East Yorkshire. Nick would like to apologise for sounding like he's speaking in stereo. He was trying out a new method of recording interviews and pressed the wrong button. He tells me he's very sorry and won't do it again. Hopefully it doesn't ruin the interview for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've registered. I'm looking forward to finally finishing a journey that we started so long ago. I just worry about how hard it is to fight all the time. When 2 years ago the criminal appeal guys started on their road to finally finishing, and none of them are finished, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, there's only four that have gone through to full and final settlement, which, given there are, what, 600-plus outstanding convictions to be overturned, and only 83 convictions overturned to date. Yeah. It is a worry, isn't it?
It is a huge worry because, 19 years, like I say, it's a long time, and for some of the others, it's even longer. I mean, it's outrageous, really, but what
so
can we do?
So
we're in it anyway.
19 years, we better pick this up now, because I didn't realise that we were having this conversation 19 years today since you were suspended from your own drive.
Yeah, so 08:30 on the 24th of March 2004, I was suspended and removed from the office in Bridlington Marine Drive.
And we are 19 years later at the beginning of your ability to claim full and final compensation for what's been done to you.
Yeah, it's what do you say? It's taken so long because, Post Office wanted it to. They've spent an awful lot of money in reinventing justice, really. £100 million plus, to try to prove that the Earth's still flat is just as, Mr. Justice Fraser pointed out. We've talked about directors of Post Office possibly, certainly in the eyes of the judge, misleading, or trying to mislead him. It's been a really hard journey. It's been really difficult for everybody, and it didn't need to be.
Have you had a chance to have a look at the actual application form for this scheme?
Kind of. I've registered it. I haven't looked at the actual application because the first part was just the general application, the general registration. So I haven't seen the application in full.
There appears to be a determination from the government that this is finally, at last, the scheme that is going to provide proper restitution for the 492 people who were part of the GLO scheme but who weren't prosecuted by the Post Office. Yeah. What confidence do you have that the government will be able to fulfil that ambition?
I honestly believe that whenever anyone sets out on the right path, there'll be so many changes and so many other influences down the line that what's determined today will not be the outcome.
You're obviously speaking from bitter experience. Is there a sense that, fool me once, etc.? there's the kind of so many false dawns that you've had with this campaign that you've been on for so long now?
I have talked to so many genuinely purposeful, honest, straightforward people that have always offered so much to the group that in the end has fallen by the wayside for all kinds of different reasons. If you go right back to pre-mediation, there's been so many things that have come along.
Is that the 2013 mediation scheme you're talking about?
Yeah.
Essentially, this was something that the post office offered supposedly in good faith to try and resolve these differences 10 years ago now. And that foundered.
So on paper, yeah. those people offered it in Parliament, they offered an outcome here in 2013 that would have not had all of this other happened. So 10 years prior to now, this could have been settled. But what was said didn't happen.
Right.
And it was purposeful. People paid lip service, maybe misled people in believing that they were going to, you know, they had the integrity to take this to the end, and they chose not to. So we'll see where we are. We'll see where we are in August 2024.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. You can perfectly understand how you would be very cynical about this, but I guess the thing to do is apply and then see what happens when it comes to the settlement offers, and then you'll be able to make a value judgment on just how much this scheme's been opened and run in good faith.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got to... One thing that we've all found out throughout all of this is if you don't take part, then nothing's going to change. So, you know, whilst people probably don't take on board your opinion unless you're part of the regime, if you like, unless you're part of what's going on. So I've always tried to take part, and I know that many of the others have always, like Chris, have tried to take part and just do the best that they can. And you know, we are where we are.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I hope that it does finally deliver what you deserve. I can't believe it's nearly two decades on since those people walked into your office and changed your life in that way.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened today was the group litigation. The other thing that happened today was the Post Office Horizon IT inquiry published some rather lengthy legal advice on the bankruptcy situations of all the different categories of sub-postmaster and all the different categories of bankruptcy within all the different categories of compensation scheme on its website from a learned QC, Casey, sorry. Have you had a chance to take any of that?
I must admit,
I had a read of the document, and I must admit I found it very arcane. Because you were made bankrupt in the process of
absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so I applied for bankruptcy in 2008.
And this was after the civil litigation against you?
It was, yeah. Yeah. So
you were essentially made bankrupt by the post office, and that has complicated your claim and many other people's claims for compensation. Are you any the wiser as to your situation after reading the document today?
Well, up until in the original settlement in 2019, half of my payment, if you like, went to my bankruptcy. So my bankruptcy originally, when I applied for bankruptcy, if you took out the original £321,000 worth of costs to post office, which was written off by the win in the GLO as part of my settlement, then there was only about £8,500 worth of debt. But I paid tens of thousands of pounds out of my settlement in order to clear that. So the fees and the costs were picked up by me, not by post office. I would never have been bankrupt had it not been for the costs award.
And, yeah. And the legal opinion references some of the terms of the settlement, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. So the terms were written specifically to protect the sort of post office from those fees.
Because I think the GLO compensation scheme, in fact, I think I've got the minister on the record saying that anyone who is bankrupt, if there are fees to pay or interest to pay on the bankruptcy sum as well as the bankruptcy itself, the GLO scheme will settle any outstanding amount before then considering the full and fair sum for compensation, which will be awarded without tax. So is your situation complicated still further by the settlement?
I mean, for me, it's a lot deep. Not me personally, but for the group, it was a lot deeper than that, because the actual settlement in the GLO in 2019 didn't address this particular issue, which then, as we've gone through with interim payments and things, that's caused more problems for other people. My interim payment was held back because I hadn't annulled my bankruptcy, because that would cost me extra fees. Even now, other people haven't had their interim payments because of the way that they're unable to control what would be taken from the by the bankruptcy, so it wasn't financially viable for them to take their interim payments. But we may be 2 years away from final settlements, but these people still haven't had any compensation whatsoever, nothing to help them through that gap of time. And I just think that it makes life very difficult for somebody who's in a position of not being able to control what's going on because they were put in that position by the actions of a company.
It's crazy, isn't it? And when you start to sort of pick away at the complexity of some of these situations, you can understand how the lawyers are concerned that this hard stop for the GLO scheme of August next year may approach rather rapidly, because unravelling the complexities, I mean, you know, even if you've got a very highly skilled lawyer working for you on your individual case, I would imagine it's going to take time to sort out just how much your compensation claim is going to be.
Absolutely. Even relying upon the specifics of headline of claim, even though that they can be laid down and everything can be worked towards, there's so many other things that influence how that's going to play out and how what's acceptable and what's not acceptable and what costs within the bankruptcy will be taken and how forceful the bankruptcy agent themselves, the insolvency practitioners, can be with respect to how they deal with what they in turn are due. And it's very difficult, very, very difficult, because you've got so many people pulling in different directions.
Lee Castleton, who was suspended 19 years ago today and who finally has the chance to apply for proper compensation. Okay, that's it for this episode. We'll put a link to the GLO compensation scheme in the podcast description, as well as links to the advice published by the inquiry and another interview we did with Lee earlier in this series. Investigating the Post Office Scandal is produced and presented by Rebecca Thompson and Nick Wallace, with sage advice and support from Whistledown Productions. Thanks for listening. Bye.